All right, ladies and gentlemen, the man who was on the sidelines last night, seeing it close up as the Eagles win again, 28-13. The offense was humming, especially on the first drive. Are they ready for the Cowboys? Are they made ready to make this run? Let's bring in Sal Palantonio, ESPN's preeminent NFL reporter, and he is brought to us by Univest Bank. Financial solutions for your business. Sal, what was the atmosphere like down there last night?
Yeah, all my rowdy friends were down in South Philly.
Yes, they were.
It was kind of funny because, you know, the national cognoscenti kind of shows up for Monday Night Football, and they're looking around at the stands, and it's about, I don't know, 30 minutes before the game starts, and there's a lot of empty seats, and one of them says to me, "Oh, going to be a lot of no-shows tonight." I said, "Listen, cuz." I said, "Cuz." I said, go out into that parking lot right now, because right now everybody's getting properly lubed up, you know, psychologically and physically for the football game, and there won't be an empty seat in this stadium. I guarantee you, nobody is missing this game. And sure enough, lo and behold, the Eagles fans. I don't think anybody sat down for that game last night. Very few people did. I was watching the crowd a lot. The fans were into it. Eagles fans are into this team. They are into it. The run has already started. You asked the question coming in, are they ready to make this run? The run's already started. And I agree with Tyrone. They beat Dallas. Look out. You know what I did today? I got on the horn to my travel agent and booked the flight to L.A. now. I guarantee you there won't be seats after that Dallas game on American Airlines.
Eagle fans headed out there, huh?
Well, they were last year.
Yeah?
Hey, listen, what's a better place to be than L.A. in December? A little escape weekend, you know, invasion of the Eagles Nation. I'm telling you, if they beat Dallas, look out. This team will go right down the table. They will run it.
Oh, my Houston. God, they're going to run the table.
Mike, Houston, are you kidding with Houston? Houston's going to come in here in December, 2 days before Christmas?
They're a pretty good team, Sal.
They're very good. They're very good. They play in the AFC South, Mikey.
Uh-huh.
And they're not going to want to come in here in December. They'll already have the whole thing locked up. They're not going to be able to go up or down in the conference, in their seat. No, I'm telling you. They beat Dallas.
Oh, my God.
They beat L.A.
You got 10 wins on the board.
They beat Dallas. If they beat Dallas, then they run the table. Done.
Wow. All right, let's look at some elements of last night. And he did two things very well, the quarterback. Play-action passes were money, and outside the pocket he was money. They moved the pocket a little bit. He made some great throws in the first half.
6 of 7 for 100 yards. More yards than he's thrown outside the pocket than his entire career, one single game. What the film heads like to call second reaction throws, move the platform. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he was moving the platform, and he's always been very, very good before the injury. There really wasn't anybody better in the league and throwing accurately on the run. This is what impressed Ron Jaworski when they went up to North Dakota. That's the thing that impressed Doug Peterson and Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas and the whole group of them that went up there, is that he could move well and throw on a dime outside the pocket, moving the platform, and he wasn't doing it. He was averaging 3 rushes per game going into this game this year. Last year it was 6.5, so it was about half. But now the swagger is back. And, you know, it was a reaction to what the Redskins did to him last year and did quite well, which is they would loop the defensive end into the A-gap and loop the defensive tackle on the outside and wreak havoc in his face. And they hit him. Despite the fact that he swept them last year, he got hit a lot against the Redskins in those two games, the Monday nighter here and the opener at FedEx. And when he saw that, it was evacuation time. Time to get out, and he hit Golden Tate 3 for 3 outside the pocket, according to Vincent J. Massey of ESPN Stats and Information. 3-for-3 to Golden Tate, 2-for-2 to Zach Ertz outside the pocket, and 1 to Nelson Aguilar. So Golden Tate is beginning to pay dividends because he can what? He can do this, Mike. He can work inside and out. He can move laterally. You got to plaster him constantly, and he's got those quick twitch muscles.
Mm-hmm.
That allows him to get free when Carson is improvising outside the pocket.
Yeah, that play down the left sideline was a beaut. All right, now for the most part, I thought the head coach called a pretty good game. There were a couple weird, questionable calls there, but especially the first drive.
What was the weird
one? Well, the running play to Josh Adams there, 4th and 2, I didn't think was a great creative call.
Well, you also had a mistake. Somebody didn't block somebody because they had an unblocked defender that came right into Josh Adams' ribcage and around the 3-yard line, which was obviously a miscommunication on blocking assignments. I don't know whether it was Carson or... See, when you have an unblocked defender like that, a defensive end, and it's an RPO, maybe Carson was supposed to pull the ball back into his belly because he has to account for the defensive end. So I don't know if it was a bad play call. I think the decision to go for it there when you're struggling to score points. Mikey, take
the field. Yeah, I agree. I thought the same thing before they went for it. Kick the field goal, put points on the board there. I totally agree. There was also a 3rd and 4 from their own 22 where he gives the ball to Sproles, his first carry, which I thought was a little questionable. But beyond that, the first drive was a thing of beauty, a mix of pass and run.
It really was. And if they're going to have that kind of balance with Josh Adams, they're going to be successful, and they're going to be successful against Dallas, and you can run on the Rams. But the bottom line is this, Michael. Carson Wentz can't make those kinds of mistakes down near the goal line.
Yeah.
Remember, Monday night was the one-year anniversary of the loss in Seattle last year where Carson Wentz fumbled the ball on the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
So it was exactly 365 days ago that he made a similar mistake near the goal line. He can't have that, Mike. You can't. If he does that in Dallas, they're not going to beat Dallas. He's got to do a much, much better job of being cognizant of where he is and making plays down near the goal line in the red zone like that, or else they're going to lose to Dallas. They can't give the ball away like that. See, the thing is, every drive that they have, because they don't have explosive plays down the field, every drive is a lot of plays.
Right.
Which opens yourself up, you know, the risk of making a mistake because you have more plays than usual is much higher.
All right, what is the formula to beat Dallas then? What do they have to do in this game?
I think they got to play better run defense. They got to tackle. The problem is Jordan Hicks is, you know, I don't know what his story is. I got to find out what's going on with him this week. And it you know, I watched Nigel Bradham last night on that 90-yard touchdown run by Adrian Peterson. By the way, anybody who's stuck in traffic right now and listening to this, when you get home, pop open the laptop or go on ESPN Plus or whatever you're going to do and look at that play. There's such a blatant hold on the Eagles' middle linebacker, literally right in front of the referee's nose, that allowed Adrian Peterson to go free. That was a total fluke, aided and abetted by the referees. That should have never, ever happened. It should have been called back.
Yeah, okay. And Sidney Jones also made a bad play there as well. So he could have made a tackle. He didn't come up and make a tackle.
He could have, but he's Sidney Jones, and Adrian Peterson's an anvil on wheels.
Yes, he is. I get it. And you might get a little short-armed on that kind of a play.
Yeah, yeah. Battling injuries, so probably it's been a bit. And even if he does get to him, there's no guarantee he's going to bring him down.
True, that's true. All right, now,
Mike, the Redskins only made 2 plays in the game.
It was kind of a joke watching him try to play quarterback in that game. Not only is he bad, but he knows about 10 plays, so it was kind of a mercy killing. So I don't know what to take out. The last 2 games they played a bad Giants team, and they played a team that they knew wasn't going to be able to score or come back at them. So
I would say that is true in general, but I think more specifically, the Eagles. You know, the Giants defense is pretty good. It's not bad. And the Redskins' defense is pretty good. They've got some players, especially in the secondary, and they can rush the passer. And Carson was pretty clean last night, and they were able to have some balance on offense. So I think you are correct. There's no question you played a bad offense last night, and you should have destroyed them, and they did. But you played a good defense, and I think the way Doug called the game and the way it was executed on the offensive line and the balance that they had, and most important, that Carson Wentz's willingness to get outside the pocket and deliver the ball on time and accurately was a very, very encouraging sign.
Are you going to, can we send the message that we, you know, you're going to need to get heat on Dak Prescott? You want towards the blitz a little bit next week?
Sure. All
right, can we put that message out now?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
All right. The South Powell Football Hour tonight. You're in a new spot tonight.
We are at the Mifflin Tavern in South Philadelphia. And don't forget, Mikey, I'm at a brand new bookstore Friday night at the Center City, Shakespeare and Company. I don't know. I know you're a bookstore guy.
Oh, Shakespeare and Company.
There's a new one that opened up on Walnut Street in Rittenhouse Square. Shakespeare and Company started in Paris. There's two in New York on the east side. And now there's one in Philly. This is the first store in the United States outside of New York.
That's all. Listen, I think the Bard should show up and get one of your books.
It is a fabulous place. I've been in there a couple of dozen times. It's fantastic. It just opened up. I'm going to be signing books.
Did we lose him?
And then for Christmas time, Michael.
Oh, a perfect Christmas book, the Sal Powell book. All right, brother. Sounds good.
All right,
have a good show. There he is, Sal Palantonio, tonight at the Mifflin Tavern, 1843 South 2nd Street in South Philly, presented by Sterling Vineyards and Behringer Wines, and is also brought to us, of course, by Univest Financial Solutions for your business.